Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, go to Stamps.com, use your code GHOST, get a special offer, including up to $55 in free postage, a digital scale, and a four-week trial. Stamps.com, use our code, which is GHOST. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, separate family members experience the same disturbing dream at the same time. A ghostly entity tries to use his cell phone to communicate with the living, and a couple hears unexplained noises coming from outside their bedroom late at night.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802. The phone number, Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it. You can write on the webpage, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to me. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And remember that Facebook group is out there if you want to join in that. A lot of folks discussing the episode and other things that tend to happen in the world of paranormal. Just search for a Real Ghost Stories Online group and a request to be a member, and I will approve you. There you go. You can be part of that community as well, if you'd like. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you? I'm fine.
I'm good. How are you?
Fine day.
I'm good.
I always say this fine day. You're out of practice with the.
No, I'm not out of practice. Usually, you stop right after you say my name.
I like to pause and then interrupt.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of my thing.
I know.
That's what I go for. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. We should say this, and it's amazing, but the other day, Jenny set foot into the Crescent Hotel.
I did.
And that's something I think you vowed you would never, ever do.
And I did it.
And you did it. And she did it for a quiche. It was all about the quiche.
Didn't eat the quiche, but we did enjoy the brunch that they have there.
We did. Yeah. And this is not an advertisement or anything, but we were in Eureka Springs, and we were trying to figure out breakfast as we were about to leave town. And we were almost literally out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, well, there is one place that has brunch. And I thought, you know, it was one of those moments where like the clouds part and the seas part. And there was like kind of an angel voice in the like,
I just wanted to score some wifey brownie points.
So we went there and we had the brunch. It was good. It was tasty.
And you got to look around and everything.
I went to the top floor, mm-hmm, and came back down. And when we were up at the top floor, you stayed down.
I did. I just didn't want to go up the stairs.
Yeah.
I was just tired.
Yeah, so there was a lot of steps. We went up there. And of course, someone was telling a ghost story up on the ledge. Mm-hmm. And they're saying, and a woman jumped from here once. And I think like every old hotel has that story.
Some woman is distraught and either hung herself or jumped to her death.
Mm-hmm.
Every old hotel has that.
Yeah. So as far as the legitimacy of that story, you can hear that full thing over on the Grave Talks. We did an episode with the guy who does all the paranormal tours and stuff about the Crescent, and that full story can be understood there. But it's kind of one of those stories.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
it's kind of like every town has a haunted bridge.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Same sort of deal. Although I did have a story yesterday on the live episode where the guy was calling in his haunted bridge story. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, haunted bridge story. But his car actually did get shoved pretty good. It wasn't just because normally it's a very slow kind of roll.
Yeah.
He's like, and that's what I was expecting too, thinking it was a, you know, urban legend type deal. That's what was sure. his mindset. And out of nowhere, all of a sudden it's like, whoo.
Huh.
And it was a pretty strong push. And so I said, well, you know, the way people sometimes go to those locations and sometimes perform ceremonies or something or open doors, mm-hmm, attempting to conjure something up, I think almost after the fact of the legends, they could become more haunted than they ever were just because people tend to use them as, you know, places to do those things.
Sure.
So maybe some of those things end up happening, not because of the ghost, but because people have been inviting them there. Yeah, it was an interesting one.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you're on the air. Let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, Tony. This is Vicki from West Virginia again. I wanted to tell you a story that happened to me probably a couple months ago. I was just listening to you and Carol discussing pets coming back. And my story is about a little dog that I had, a little Pekingese. His name was Pooh Bear. And we had him for about 12 years, 13 years. And he was part of the family. He was absolutely the sweetest dog ever. And after he suddenly died, he got hit by a car in front of our house. He ran up to the road, and a car sped by and bumped him, and there wasn't any blood or anything. He just was dead. And my granddaughter was 4 at the time, and she's 14 now. And we've never forgotten Pooh Bear. He was just—he was beautiful and sweet. And anyway, she was devastated. For months after he died, my ex-husband and I would be asleep at night. He snored like a lot of Pekingese do. And we would wake up in the middle of the night and we could hear him snoring. And my husband at the time would wake me up and he'd say, "Do you hear that? Do you hear that?" I'd say, "Yeah," you know, and then it would stop. It ended, I don't know, within a year after he died, we didn't think any more of it or anything. Back about 2 months ago, I have another dog now, it's a little Shih Tzu. Her name is Kitty, a dog named Kitty. And she's sweet as she can be. And we have a cat. And I went in to get in bed, and they usually follow me and jump up in the bed. Well, they were in the living room with me. It was about 11 o'clock, and I shut everything off and went to the bathroom and went and got in bed. And I'm laying there, and Kitty has to jump from the side of the bed because it's so high she can't get a run and jump at the foot of the bed. So I'm laying there, and I hear her at the bottom of the bed, like, jumping. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I'm going to have to get out of bed and help her up because she'll never make it. And about that time, she jumped up from the bed. And I felt her walk up the bed and lay down up against the back of my leg. And I said, "Good job, Kitty." And I reached back to pet her, and she wasn't there. And I jumped out of bed and was like, "Kitty?" And I looked around in the bed and moved the covers, and she wasn't there. And I ran back in the living room, and her and the cat were laying in the same spot they were whenever I went to bed. So, I wasn't asleep. This happened within, like, a couple of seconds of me laying down. So, that happened. And also, when I was 4, I had gotten a cat. Her name was Mousie. We have odd names in our family for our animals. And Mousie was my best friend. She died when I was 17. I had her forever. She was my best friend growing up. And she passed away, and of a ripe old age. And all my life, I have felt a cat jump up on my bed and lay down. And I didn't have a cat till about a year ago. So, yeah. And my son said he always felt a cat jump on his bed, too. He didn't know anything about Malfrey. And we just discussed this not very long ago because I was telling him I still feel a cat jump on my bed at night and lay down and get up and look. The cat's outside. He likes to go out at night and hunt, so it's not him. But anyway, yeah, those are my two animal stories. And I love your show. Please don't ever stop. It is a lot of fun listening to everybody who has the same experiences that I have.
So what do you make of the pets? It's similar to what I had almost.
I kind of wonder when an animal dies suddenly, like being hit by a car, if they realize they're dead.
I wonder if they just continue on and doing their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't discount that story at all. I mean, I had a similar thing. I never like heard the animal, but I felt like it jump up, and I would always think the cat was there, but the cat had been dead.
Yeah.
Quite a while. Here's an interesting thing, and it's not really ghost related, but I think it's, I just saw the door opening behind me through the window. I'm like, well, that's creepy. And then there's a little redhead moving.
It's a little person.
Okay. Here's an interesting thing. You know, when people talk about their pets like this lady did, it's always the cutest, best pet ever.
Yeah.
What if you try and one-up it? Get in the cover. Oh, I think mine was mine was even cuter. And you just keep going back and forth about how much cuter your pet was than the other in this endless loop of one-upmanship of cuter pet.
And that's not cool.
I would love to hear that conversation as it just amplifies into just the fantastical. And it's like, well, my cat made me toast in the, you know, it just goes to insane shit as the others, and the two people just cannot accept that the others, someone else may have a cuter pet. It just keeps going and going and going. That would be exciting.
That's funny.
You know, these days, pretty much everything is on demand. The show is on demand. You know, any TV show you want to watch, it's on demand. How about the post office? How about not having to go to the post office and being able to send packages, get the right postage, all the stuff you would need to formerly have gone to the post office for, doing it on demand at your home. That's where Stamps.com comes into play and makes that a reality. With Stamps.com, you can access all the amazing services of the post office right from your desk 24/7 when it's convenient for you. You buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package using your own computer and printer. Mail carrier picks it up. Click, print, mail, done. That is how easy it is. We use it here. I absolutely love it. It couldn't be any easier. Saves a ton of time and money too. Right now, you can use our code GHOST, special offer including up to $55 in free postage, digital scale, and a 4-week trial. Make sure it's right for you. Don't wait. Go to stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the radio microphone on the top of the homepage and type in GHOST. Stamps.com. Enter our code GHOST. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Tony. My name is Aisha, and I'm from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I have experienced odd occurrences all my life. My mother has, my grandmother has. So we've kind of grown to accept things that happen that are out of the ordinary. We wouldn't call ourselves psychic or spiritual. It's just things happen. So I have a million and one stories, but I am going to tell you two very short stories. Both of them occurred in Eastern State Penitentiary. A few years ago, when Eastern State did their very first Terror Behind the Walls, it was a very different attraction than it is now. Essentially, what they did was give you some flashlights and send you on your way through the penitentiary and just let you, you know, do your own thing. You just couldn't go past cell blocks or areas that were cordoned off because Eastern State is a ruin. So you can easily get hurt. It is kind of falling down. but me and my best friend just were hanging out, wandering around the cells. She was actually walking in front of me, and we were talking, laughing and joking, stopped, silent, to the point I ran right into the back of her. And I said, well, you know, what's wrong? And she kind of shushed me, and she kind of whispered, look over my shoulder and tell me what you see. Down the cell block, in a part of the cell block that was cordoned off, we watched a shadow poke its head out of the cell, kind of walk into or onto the catwalk, kind of look at us, and then go back into the cell. So we kind of thought, okay, that was odd. Maybe it was just somebody playing a trick or whatever. We didn't really pay attention to it. We paid attention to it, but we couldn't go investigate any further. So we said that was kind of odd. And like I said, we kind of were silent for a minute and then wandered on about our business. We ended up where cell block 4 is, which is notoriously haunted. And we could hear, passing the cell block, people talking. But we knew there was nobody, or there wasn't supposed to be anybody there, because cell block 4 at the time was strictly cordoned off. There was nobody allowed in there. It had, like, the doors and everything. But we could hear people talking, like men arguing. So that kind of freaked us out. So we backed up, and we immediately left at that point. But before we left, we kind of talked to one of the guides or one of the people that are there to help with the attraction. And we said, you might want to go check cell block 4, because I think it might be people back there playing around. And we know that's, you know, a part of the ruin that is very dangerous. And so the tour guide kind of looked at us, or the helper kind of looked at us, and she said, well, that kind of happens all the time. People come to us and tell us that they hear people all the time. That was one of the worst cell blocks. So if that's what you heard, then that's kind of what you heard. She didn't want to be dismissive of it, but she didn't want to, you know, cause an alarm if that kind of happened all the time. So that was the first time we went to Eastern State. The second time we went to Eastern State, it was a few years later. We went, it wasn't Terror Behind the Walls, it was just a regular tour. And it was about twilight, and we were just wandering around, reading the plaques next to the cell and, you know, whatever, all the goings-on at that time. I walked away from my best friend for maybe a minute or two, but I kept her in my peripheral. We never wanted to be but too far away from each other. I turned to my right to see where she was, because she wasn't there. I thought she had walked away from me. Here, I had seen somebody walk between us and stand between us, to the point that it kind of blocked her away, like it blocked her out, like I couldn't see her at all. Once I turned to really look, it was a man in, like, I guess, old prison uniform, or what I thought was prison uniform. And I went to say something to him or just look at him, and he walked right through the wall. And I turned around to my best friend, because I watched him walk through the wall, and I asked her, did you see that? And she said, watch the guy walk through the wall. And I said, yeah. She said, yeah, it's time for us to go. So we promptly left, and we went across the street and got a good stiff drink, and we came home, and we have not been back to Eastern State since. It wasn't that we were afraid. It wasn't that we were terrified. Nothing ever felt violent or angry. We never felt like we were in danger. It was just these two particular experiences were so vivid and so clear that we kind of were like, okay, maybe it's time for us to just leave well enough alone and go on about our business. So that's my story. I have, like I said, a million one more. So I hope you use it. If you don't, that's fine. I just, now I have an outlet where I can tell people some of the things that have happened to me. So if you get a chance, come to Philadelphia and see the sights. Thank you. Bye.
Quite an experience.
Yeah, I don't know that I would ever be okay with going and touring a prison. You know, Alcatraz, Eastern State, any of those.
Just no.
Because of the energy there.
Yeah.
You know, even if it, they say that there's no ghost, it, there's still that energy there.
You know, I'm sure it's really interesting as far as the, if you're looking for activity, probably a good place to get activity. Mm-hmm. I like going places where architecture is really, you know, cool.
Yeah.
And is not reminiscent of an like a prison institution. Mm-hmm. Now there's creepy and scary, but there's not. Alcatraz is one thing, but a lot of the prison type structures are very similar, if you will. I'm much more interested, just more so, in seeing places where you could almost relate to it. Now it's not your place or time, but it's like, ooh, a big old haunted hotel or a big old, mm-hmm. you know, Victorian house, something of that nature. Architecture, even if I'm not going to see a ghost or experience anything, because that's kind of what I bet on, because I don't have luck that way, that it will, I'll at least get to see some neat old building.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit more drawn to that, but yeah, I could see that energy being really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And really dark. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Hi.
Hi there, guys. My name is Selena Picari. I'm from Alberta, Canada, and I have a story to tell you guys. I've been listening to your podcast for like a year now, absolutely obsessed. I'm a regular of the show. So my story takes place in Toronto, Canada, and Toronto, Ontario, actually. And it is really about my parents and their experience that we had when we lived in an apartment building. So we lived, I believe it was near Rexdale. I was small. I was about maybe 5 years old. My little brother had just been born. He was 3. So the apartment that we lived in, we knew that there had been paranormal activity before. I'll probably call in again to tell more of those stories, but the one that I have to tell today is actually pretty terrifying. So, my mom, she's always been, I'd say, sensitive. And she was always, like, she's always been the type of person to tell somebody's aura. Like, she can definitely read auras. She's always, I don't really know the name for it, but she is very, I'd say, open, and she can always tell when she senses something in the room with you or she senses something bad is about to happen. Like, that's something that my mom has always been able to do. And I remember when we lived in this apartment, my mom always had the most experiences. And I'm going to start off with probably the scariest. So one day my mom and my stepdad were sleeping in their room, which is right next to my room. Like I said, I was, I think, around the age of 5. And they were just sleeping, and while they were sleeping, my mom had a dream, and in the dream, she described it as this black sheet, like a black shadow on top of her, pushing her down into the bed so she couldn't breathe. And my mom didn't know this, but I could actually hear her struggling in her room, as if she was choking or something. And that's when I also heard my dad, my stepdad, doing the same thing. And I ran into the room and I woke them both up. And when I woke them both up, they described to me what had happened. And it turned out that my stepdad actually had the exact same dream that my mom had. They both had a dream that they were being strangled. And something, not exactly strangled, but something was on top of them, pushing them down into the bed so that they could not breathe. And they ended up waking up at the same time, obviously, because I woke them up. And I just thought that this dream was really, really scary because, like I said before, we had had paranormal experiences in this apartment of ours. And then a few years later, I believe it was maybe 1 or 2 years later, we decided to make the move to Calgary, Alberta, which is across Canada. So we moved from all of our family, and we were the only ones from our family down here except for my stepdad's family. His mom was down here. And we lived in a little townhouse with my little brother and now my sister. We had, with the move to Calgary, we learned that my mom was pregnant with my little sister. And while we were living here, I remember having a dream. And in this dream, I remember, for some reason, I had gone to go check on my little brother who was sleeping. And the way that our townhouse was set up is that my little brother's room was right across from mine, but I had to walk by my room to get to his room. And in my room, there was a bunk bed that I slept on and that my little sister slept on. My little sister liked to sleep on the top, and I liked to sleep on the bottom. So I remembered I was going to go to my room, or to my little brother's room, to go check on him. And when I'm walking to my little brother's room in this dream, I walk by my bedroom as usual, but in the dream, I saw something in the corner of my eye in my bedroom. So I'm about to go into my little brother's room, but I see this thing in the corner of my eye, and I stop. And I walk into my bedroom to go investigate. And that's when the minute I, in my dream, when I walk into my bedroom, it's almost like I freeze. And I'm pushed up against my closet door. And behind the bunk bed is practically pushed up against the window in my room, but there's a little space in between. And in between that little space, the skinny space, I should say, there was this tall, black hooded thing, and it was pointing at me. And when it's pointing at me, I have the same experience that my mom and dad had in their previous dream when they lived in Toronto. I feel like I can't breathe. And I feel like I can't move because I'm being pushed into the closet door, just as my mom and dad had described being pushed into the bed in their dream. And in my dream, I was experiencing the same thing. I remember waking up probably around 4 o'clock that morning, just crying, and I couldn't go back to sleep. I ended up turning on my TV in my room and watching television and cartoons to just... I didn't want to go wake up my mom and dad because I didn't want to disturb their sleep, and I didn't want them to get mad at me because I was awake in the morning. So I just I turned on the TV just to distract myself of the dream that I just had. And when I told my mom and dad, and it actually took me a long time to tell my mom and dad because my mom, like I said before, she was always a very She was a very superstitious. That's the word that I've been looking for. She was a very superstitious woman, and I didn't want to tell her that because I did not want to worry her. And I remember one day, it was bothering me so much about a month later because I always felt uneasy after that dream. I just told my stepdad. And my stepdad, I thought that they were just going to shake it off, but they actually we had like a family meeting, and we talked about it. And that's when my mom told me that she thinks something was attached to our family from the old apartment that we lived in Toronto. And she asked me if I felt comfortable if we had a priest or a pastor from our church to come in to bless the house. And I 100% agreed to it because I was kind of tired of feeling always uneasy. And after that, I really haven't had any major, I haven't really had a major paranormal experience. And mind you, that was at the time that I had had the dream, I was about 9 years old, and my parents had had their dream in Toronto when I was around 5. So that's my story. I haven't really experienced much paranormal stuff since then, but I do have a lot of stories from when we lived in Toronto that my mom has told me, that my dad has told me. I even have stories that my grandparents have from when they lived in the country of Guyana, which is in South America. Ethnically, my grandparents and my family, we are from India, we're Indian, but our family lives in Guyana, the South American country, and we have a lot of stories that I'd like to share with you guys later on here. But yeah, that's my story, and I hope you guys enjoyed and that this is able to be aired. Thank you.
There's something going on with that family that's plaguing them, that's trying to scare them. What's your take on it?
I think something attached to them in that apartment. I agree with her mom that something just kind of attached, because having that same dream, and I'm sure that they didn't tell her when she was a small child of their dream.
Sure.
It was probably not till she told them that they were like, well, we had that, 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah. It's like, well, guess what, honey? We all have that dream all the time. It's our family dream.
Right.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I don't know how or why that would be occurring, but there's clearly some sort of connection.
Yeah, thankfully they were able to get rid of that.
Yeah. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey, guys, this is Chris from Ohio. I had something interesting happen to me Wednesday night that I think you guys would find interesting. The reference, I'm calling this in the Sunday after. It's like, earlier the day, a coworker was helping take me driving. We went up to a small parking lot and things, came inside for a little bit, where I picked up an incense burner and a healing crystal because I've been starting to look into Wiccan practices. I went home that afternoon, I went to sleep because I work night shifts and sleep during the day. And I had at least what I thought was a dream until I woke up, woken up in what I thought was a dream, and it felt like I was in a sleep paralysis state, but it seemed like whatever, I guess, put me there, grabbed my hand to pull me out of it, and led me somewhere across my room, and like through my desk and wall, and that's where it went black. But before that happened, I had pulled the rotation switch on my pedestal fan to stop it from rotating. And then as we hit the wall, things went black, and then I woke up in my bed again, and there was something standing over me that like had a sheet over it, like it didn't want me to see what it was. I didn't get a nervous feeling from either thing, more like the first one wanted to show me something, and then the second thing just wanted to make sure I was brought back on time to like wake up for work that night. Like I said, I did think this was just the dream, but when I woke up to go to work that night, the rotation for my fan was shut off. I was just kind of curious on what you guys thought about this and if you've heard anything similar, like something pulling you out of a sleep paralysis state, like it realized it put you there but didn't mean to. Well, thanks for listening. Hope to hear this.
I don't know necessarily that it's the cause of putting you in the state, but maybe taking advantage of the situation.
Yeah, I haven't heard of one realizing, oh, oops, sorry, my bad, put you in sleep paralysis. I'm going to get you out of that. I mean, most of them are, if they put you there, they want you there.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that's how it kind of was conveyed to him.
And the fact that there was that moment after the dream of, oh, wait, the fan rotation did come off. I mean, that just really kind of shows this was more than a dream.
Yeah.
That's the perfect thing where people say, well, how do you tell if it's paranormal or just a dream? Well, I mean, sometimes it's just feelings, and that's based on, you know, if you want to believe it or not. And that's a personal thing. But when you have a little piece of evidence like that, just something that's physically influenced from outside that can point you in a direction that says this couldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, that's a little more evidence that there's something going on more than just a dream. So there you go. Thanks for calling in and sharing that story with us. That is going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, please support us. Keep us on the air. Become a EPP extra podcast person. Get access to every single bonus episode. Go to ghostpodcast.com to get in on that. Facebook group is out there as well. If you want to join the conversation there, Real Ghost Stories Online group is what you search on Facebook. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.